What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jaybird Watching. Once again, I guess we're going to have a recorded Wednesday wallop for your Thursday morning. Today with me, as always, Brendan Panic, our buddy. What's going on, my friend?
Not much, Craig. Nice to talk to you in 2019. It's been a year ago since we last chatted. How are you?
Doing great, man. Wonderful. Blue Jays news is still, unfortunately, the, you know, apparently hibernating season already, and it's not going to be coming out anytime soon, but yet it's almost pitchers and catchers time, man. It's almost time to get on the buses, the planes, everything, and migrate down south for the Toronto Blue Jays spring training fun, you know, pitchers and catchers. It's like we're within that like 40-day window, man.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it's come. You know what? Even though the baseball offseason seems so long, it really isn't. It goes by so quickly because they really spread out the events to keep you excited and talking about baseball. And by the time you know it, it's already pitchers and catchers. Starting the season in March helps too.
Because it does help.
Even if it started on April the 1st, right before they extended the season to add more days off, even if it started April the 1st, it's just so much longer away. The fact that you can say it starts in late March makes it seem so much faster and quicker, even though it's only a few more days or a few less days to wait. But, yeah, it's going to be here before we know it, man. It's exciting.
Yeah, the Blue Jays fans are kicking their calendars and crossing things off for that rookie rampage that we're going to have come spring training as far as everybody battling out for positions, man. It's going to be an interesting thing. And as far as the offseason goes, that rookie rampage through the spring training is only going to look as good as the new additions that have been brought in, which we're going to go through and summarize today, buddy. And in all reality, it has every opportunity for these young players to take this team over and run with it and make it their own thing.
Yeah, and you know what? Kind of segueing nice into that, just kind of starting the recap of the offseason, I think they have the perfect manager in place to oversee the influx of rookies and young talents that are going to be on this major league roster. Back in October, October 25th, I believe was the exact day, Charlie Montoyo was hired, and that kind of got the offseason kicked off. And you know what, man? I'll tell you, that move did get me quite excited because of all the rave reviews he got. Everybody that you saw on Twitter that was talking about Montoyo said he is the perfect guy for the job. He's always been deserving of a major league managerial position. So it is super exciting to have a guy in place who should be here for years under this next crop of talent.
Yeah, and then I think what gets lost in some of the story is everybody thinks he's got nothing but the sabermetrics and he's bringing the Tampa Bay Rays stuff here. This is a guy that was a solid 10-year minor league manager, was pretty much a big contributor to the Durham Bulls dynasty that has been brewing in the minor leagues for the Tampa Bay Rays. Obviously, the last couple of years, he's been a manager in the major league level, but this is something that was coming for a long time, I think. And with him being able to take a young team he's already proven that he knows what to do with young, talented players and knows how to balance everything. It's only going to get more interesting, I think, as we start seeing some of those things unfold come spring training.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be, as we've said many times, and not to sound like a broken record, but it's all going to be about the kids this year. And you know what, man? That really was started to be opened up by the second kind of notable move that was made this offseason when they traded Aledmys Diaz to Houston for Trent Thornton.
Yeah, and Trent Thornton bringing in an exciting arm back into this minor, ended up into the role here. Projected probably to be in the bullpen for this season, but he's going to get a chance to do a little bit of everything, I think, come spring training and see where he can fit in and help this ball club.
Absolutely. And you know what? That move was pretty predictable. You knew that Diaz was probably going to be on the way out for the most part because of that, all of that. They just have so many middle infielders they could afford to get rid of one. And you know what? Trent Thornton, even though he's got a funky little delivery, it works for him. And all the reviews at the time of the trade of Trent Thornton were that he could be something. He could be a fifth or fourth starter when he develops a little bit more. But yeah, as you said, they probably will see him at some point in 2019 pitching out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and pretty much set the tone for the Blue Jays offseason as far as what they're trying to do with everything, as far as grabbing young, talented, controllable arms for the most part. We'll get to a few of those here in a few minutes, but it kind of just, as far as it goes, it's the movement going. You know, we got to fill out some innings. You got to get guys like Thornton even involved in this to be able to eat up innings all sides of the game, you know. This is how it is. So after that, we got the big news. It's like, okay, this is definitely nothing but a youth movement this year, my friend. Troy Tulowinski, gone. Everybody, as far as money goes.
Yeah, and you know what? Last time we chatted, he hasn't signed with anybody yet, so I guess that's kind of somewhat new Tulo news. He went to the Yankees, so we'll be seeing him 19 times, assuming that he is healthy and playing for the Yankees, but you know what? We covered that really, really in depth. We did an emergency show to talk about the Tulowitzki release, and that was actually on a Tuesday, so it worked perfectly for a recording night for the Wednesday wall-up. So, the release truly did signify that they are ready to commit to the youth, and even though they're eating $38 million, it definitely made sense at the time. It'll be interesting seeing him in pinstripes, so that's for sure.
Yeah, and as much as I don't want to admit it, that was a very, very smart move for the New York Yankees, for somebody that's trying to fill in for the Didi Gregoriuses of the world that are hurt on that team. And it just makes sense. You got a guy that can get on a league minimum this year because the Blue Jays are going to be flipping the bill for him. So, oh well, that's how it is. That's what the game's all about, is about money and how you get better. I wish them all the best. But the Blue Jays had to make a move, and Lourdes Gurriel is that move at shortstop as far as everything goes. We saw what this kid can do with the bat last year. Boom, there you go. Now he's full-on cemented. And then some of the other talents, the Bobichets, Kevin Smiths, now have a more clear picture on how they get to the major leagues.
Yeah, you know what? I think as the season goes along, if Bobichet, he's going to start in Double-A, but if he's going to be rising to Triple-A rather quickly. And they're going to try to get him and Vlad up here probably around the same time. So I'm sure we'll be doing lots of episodes as the season progresses, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. And maybe even in May or June, this conversation will start. But it'll be a matter of when Bo Bichette gets the bigs. And probably August or September, we'll see Bo. I would probably bet on September as a September call-up. But he's coming, releasing Tulo. Let's Gurriel give it a go at shortstop for a year, see what he can do. But he's in my mind, just a placeholder until Bo Bichette gets here to take over the reins full-time for the next 6 years.
Yeah, and as far as it goes, that part even becomes an easy transition as far as what we have going on at second base. We're hoping that Devin Travis sticks, but prove it.
We'll see. This could be the last year of Devin Travis if he doesn't stay healthy and hits the way we've seen him be able to.
Yeah, and as far as it goes, that's what the way the game is. We all love Devin Travis and what he's done for this team, but not being able to get on the field and play ball every day is just not helping him out. So as far as people we'd like to see get on the field, because at least this is the Blue Jays' new motto, right? Give everybody a shot, and if we're going to run with things this year, let the young kids run. We got the youngest guy ever acquired in a Rule 5 draft right after Tulo in Elvis Lucia.
Yeah. Two days later, they went from one big talking point to another somewhat big talking point, taking this young kid. And everybody knows that listens to this probably knows the rules, but for those who don't, you have to stay on your major league roster if you're selected in the Rule 5 draft for the entire year, or you have to be loaned back to the team you got him from, which was Kansas City, or you work out a trade. So I definitely thought a trade was coming. I was advocating for them to try and add a, and it ended up happening in, you know, with somebody, two other arms. But at the time, I was advocating for maybe working out a deal to take on Ian Kennedy and his salary to fill out the rotation and just give some innings. But it looks like this kid's going to stick. That's what Atkins said. If they pick him, they have no intentions of working out a trade with Kansas City, and he's going to be here. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually happens, because I think by the time spring training opens up, he'll be 19. So he's really, really raw. But he's got good stuff from what you and I have discussed on past shows.
Yeah. All accounts point to him having a live arm, and if they're looking to fill up places in the bullpen, hey, it carries, man. All you need to do is come out and air it out for an inning and hope you get it close to the plate, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So then in a flip move, we picked up a kind of a little bit of a veteran presence, hoping maybe, you know, I don't think he's going to be quite as big of a contributor as Curtis Granderson was last year, but Eric Sogard's been on some winners over the years, a very nice depth piece that can play all over the infield. And plus, he looks like Squints, and we might get Wendy Peppercorn at some games, you know?
Yeah, I think Blue Jays fans will remember Eric Sogard most from when he beat out Jose Bautista for face of the MLB. I think that was back in 2012, where the Athletics had that whole campaign going to vote Sogard, and I believe that was the last year that happened, because they made a mockery of that little fan interaction thing. But that was the Eric Sogard who beat out Bautista.
Yeah, Nerd Power was the campaign, I believe.
That's right. Something along those lines. Yeah, no, as he said, he set it up pretty well. Nice little depth piece. If he gets up here or makes the team, I would be surprised. But I don't know. They'll probably start the year in Buffalo, and there is no such thing as a bad minor league contract with an invite to spring training. They did that with John Ashford last year and with Tyler Clippard, and it worked out relatively well for the both of them. So might as well see what you can do.
Yeah, so as far as other free agent signings go, Matt Shoemaker is now a Toronto Blue Jay after. This is a guy that had all the talent in the world, man. Just kind of similar, I've heard comparisons since we've talked about this previously, to Aaron Sanchez. All the talent in the world, and then injuries settled in. Shoemaker was I believe, the runner-up his rookie season for the Rookie of the Year Award. Correct me
if I'm
wrong?
That's right.
Yep.
Yep, 2014, he finished second.
So, yeah, good stuff that they're bringing somebody like him in to eat up some innings, because looking at this before that, it's looking a little thin, or at least you're really heavily waiting on the, you know, Brocky Reed Foley combination at the end of this rotation to be really carrying the 200 innings, and I just don't see that happening, and why would you want to force them to do that in this kind of situation where we're rebuilding?
Yeah, no, exactly, and you know what? Shoemaker, I was actually quite happy with that move. The thing I like the most about it is he's really cheap. He's only about $3.5 million for this year from the Angels, but he's also under club control for 2021 as well, or sorry, 2020, because he was DFA'd by the, or sorry, he was non-tendered by the Angels, not DFA'd, regardless. So he does have that extra year of control. And it doesn't, that move doesn't mean the Blue Jays have to rush, as you said, the Baruckis and the Reed Foleys to just step right in and be contributors right at the start. I think Baruckie will be. It's pretty safe to say that he should be good to go for a full year, but now they don't have to rush Sean Reed Foley into the rotation because now they have a fourth man. Shoemaker, it will be in the rotation to start. There's no doubt about that. He will be the four. I mean, I wrote a piece on Matt Shoemaker signing for Jays Journal right after, well, a few days after it happened. I think it was last week. But even in 2016, when he was last healthy, he only threw 160 innings, But he has 3.88 ERA and an even lower FIP of 3.52. And that was all good for a 3.5 F4. So when he's healthy, he's shown he can be quite good. And he was injured a lot the past 2 years, but when he came back from injury at the end of this year, or this past year, I guess, now that we're in 2019, he was looking more like the Matt Shoemaker of 2016. So I like it, especially that you get him under control. And you know what? What they've done with especially Sungwoo last year, you have that extra year of control. If Shoemaker goes out and shows he can be like his 2016 self, then you have an instant trade chip to use at the deadline for a team needing pitching for the playoff stretch. So it's a no-brainer. I love the move. I think Matt Shoemaker will be quite a good addition to this team.
Yeah. I couldn't help but, you know, knowing all the talent that Shoemaker possesses, they draw the comparison to Justin Smoak being acquired by the Blue Jays and kept. Oh, everybody didn't think it was the sexiest move at the time, but yet he's been one of our best consistent power bats over the last few years. Shoemaker has that same pedigree where he could just stroll into these next two seasons and put up some really good numbers if, like you said, he can stay on the mound and keep racking up some innings. But it could be that sneaky deal of the offseason for most teams in Major League Baseball, that you're going to get some good production out of somebody like that, like you said, in the $3 million ballpark.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? It was a good move. And for all the reasons we mentioned, especially that he has club control for 2020, but also the fact that they don't need to rush Reed Foley into the rotation to start 2019, it's a good move all around.
Yeah, and Lon is, I think, between the three S's now, Stroman, Sanchez, and Shoemaker, that this, regardless of one of those guys gets hurt, Reed Foley might get pushed into more of a forefront in that fifth starter spot, but it's not trickling down as far into the minor league system where you're all of a sudden wondering what Nate Pearson's doing. I think that's the biggest thing. And then talking about our next edition even sets that back just a skosh further. Man, do you want to break this one?
Yeah, Clayton Richard, of all people. Hey, you know what? He could start as the five. When he was first with San Diego, he had a few good years, but that was a long time ago, 2009 and 2010, when he was close to 200 innings in each of those years. 2017, he had 197.1, so he was actually decent just 2 years ago. But you know what, man? The Padres are paying half his salary. It does suck that to get him, it took Connor Panis, who is a Canadian, in the system. But hey, you got to give something to get something. And Clayton Richard, to me, is just a something. He may start, I think his most logical role is out of the bullpen as a loogie, just as a one-out guy, or just maybe a few batters at a time. To go through, pitch a third of an inning here, two-thirds of an inning there. But he could be a swingman. I think we both said before the show, you said Scott Downs is a comparison. I'm blanking on who Carlos Villanueva played this role quite effectively back in 2011 for the Jays in 2012. Being that swingman out of the bullpen who can make spot starts from time to time. Because you know what? His home run numbers were not very friendly and a very hitter.
Wonderful ballparks.
Exactly. And in a pitcher's ballpark with the marine air in San Diego that keeps balls in a cavernous ballpark already, Richard struggled. So on paper, he doesn't look like the best fit, but at only $1.5 million, maybe he snags a rotation spot. If not, he's perfectly fine to be a lefty out of the bullpen. And that's frankly where I think he'll end up.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on the bullpen thing with him, especially when we don't have really that lights out lefty. I'm not saying Aaron Loop was that by any means, so please don't crucify me or anything. I'm waiting for Tim Mazza to take that turn. I really think he has the potential. I saw it in the minor leagues watching him when he was Lansing Lugnut and the New Hampshire Fisher Cat and so on and so forth. But he doesn't have that lights out punch that all of a sudden even Ryan Tepera found for a little while. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be one of those things. He's just going to be a light bulb and it's all of a sudden going to happen. Or he's going to keep being on the short bus back and forth between Toronto and Buffalo. For Mazza anyways. But as far as Clayton Richard goes, it's still another veteran presence to eat up innings. I don't care if they're in the starting rotation, the bullpen. It's that same conversation. You don't want the kids running into 200-something innings this season. And I think he can help balance that load, even if it's like the bullpen day where he takes three innings or something.
Yeah. You know what we said before we hopped on, the way I would use him, maybe if Sean Reed Foley clearly outpitches Clayton Richard in the spring, which Reed Foley definitely has the potential to do, and they force the Blue Jays' hand to give Reed Foley the fifth spot in the rotation, and Richard, if he is all right during the spring, starts in the bullpen, to limit the innings on Ryan Borucki, who will be entering his first full season as a major league starter, with Sean Reed Foley having even less experience. And then the injury history of Shoemaker and Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman, who struggled with injuries last year as well, I could see Richard maybe once every 2 to 3 times through the rotation coming in and making a spot start. And that's how I would use him, just to try to cut down on some of the innings. You know what? They tried to do that with Joe Biagini when Biagini was in the bullpen last year. He'd come in and make a few spot starts. They tried that with Drew Hutchison back in 2016 after they got and brought back Jay Happ, and Hutchison didn't make the team. So, I don't know. I think that's definitely how I would use Clayton Richard. So, we'll see. We'll see how it happens.
As long as I don't see TJ Zoik, unless he earns it, because I really think he is going to be one of those guys next year as a surprise in 2020. But this season, pushing him and getting past Pinot and Merriweather, Thornton, Weisbeck, getting down to him, John Harris, and everybody else is a hard sell for me. I'd love to see Patrick Murphy come out and freaking air it out and be awesome this spring, but I don't see him running into a 200-inning season either. But it is what it is. I'm sure they're going to sort that whole wonderful thing out. And as we're hitting this stuff, the Zips stuff has been out for your projection pleasures, my friend. So it's kind of looks like pretty much what we expected. And it's from most of the things we were talking about to this. You can just already chalk Vladimir Guerrero up as your MVP of the team, according to every projection stat. A mere 3.2 WAR in his rookie season. You know, nothing too big to celebrate. I think Fangraphs putting him almost in Mike Trout category at 6 or 7.
top 10 hitter in the major leagues when he gets up here. That's what the company he's going to be in, apparently, according to the MLB.
Yeah, I think
totally fine.
Yeah. I think the one that, other than what we were talking about pregame with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. only putting up a .2, but we kind of talked that one out, and it's more not because of his offense, but his defense and his other metrics kind of bring him down. But I was surprised by the pairing of Danny Jansen and Russell Martin only getting a 2. And I'm wondering how much that is Martin bringing Danny Jansen down.
I don't know. You know what? I'll preface this by saying I'm personally not familiar with how Zips calculates their F4. F4 is Fangraphs WAR, but regardless, I don't exactly know how Zips calculates it. So basically every single big baseball stats page that goes in depth on stuff like Fangraphs, StatCast, Baseball Reference, all those different places have their own way of calculating it. So, I mean, I'm looking here on Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s page, depth charts projects him at 5.1 in 142 games, and in 138, Steamer projects him at 4.7. So either Zips thinks he will have less at-bats than all those guys, or they just calculate it differently. Yeah. But, you know what, Gurriel seems to be in line with other people, but I don't know, maybe Russell Martin will continue to struggle with the bat like he did last year. It wasn't very pretty at times with Russell Martin, so maybe that's part of the reason for a 2 combined between the both of them.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I have had the pleasure of watching Jansen as much as I have had with the last season in Buffalo, but he reminds me so much of Russell Martin younger. He can hit, he can field, he's got a cannon. Watch out, American League base runners, is all I'm going to say. But it's going to be interesting. But then again, we got Mr. Consistency, Justin Smoke at 2.2 again. Kevin Pillar doesn't look like the defensive stuff is bringing him down as much as his quote-unquote decline is at 2.3? What do you think?
Yeah, that definitely would be aided by the defense. His offense doesn't really contribute any sort of value to him. Maybe he bounces back and has a better year offensively, but we've been saying that for the past few Aprils when he's gotten off the crazy start. So obviously they think he's going to bounce back defensively a little bit. As we said, it'll be interesting to see how Pollard, Grichuk, and even Teoscar Hernandez look in a new outfield with the new outfield coach, because Leaper ran the show last year, and it was much criticized that he didn't put players in the best position to succeed in the outfield last year. So maybe with a new outfield coach, some new alignments, and some new positioning. I mean, defensive metrics are a lot about positioning for the most part, so maybe they feel that Pollard will bounce back with some help and some better luck and some health as well.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kendrys Morales continuing to be a replacement-level DH is kind of to be expected, I think. I really don't see him doing anything different than what he did last season. But if he can get me in the 60 RBIs ballpark, I'm happy enough with that, I guess. I think how many did he end up having last year? Like, did he end up hitting 80 last year?
I can't remember. Let me pull up his page.
But as far as it goes, in a season where we're probably more or less guessing where offense is going to drop a little bit with some of these young players in the mix, there is going to be enough offense, and somebody like Morales is obviously going to be that kind of like cornerstone for these youngsters to lean on in that lineup, at least for this season or until his value is tradable enough.
Yeah, you know, he bet 57 last year, so he didn't crack 60, but he actually had a better season than he did in 2017.
And that's maybe why I was thinking the 80 number, because I was just thinking, one way or the other, I remember him, like, doing extra in that category.
Yep. So, yeah, no, he was much better last year than he was in 2017. Not from a home run and RBI perspective, but there's obviously a lot more than just those two, so he was a better hitter than 2017. So, you know, if he's like 2018, I'm fine with that. And he's a free agent at the end of the year, and his contract will be off the books.
Yep. So we'll talk quick bullpen and quick starters, but we actually are projected to have three starters being the Triple S team that we were just talking about. Stroman, Sanchez, and Shoemaker all above replacements. Stroman taking the cake at 2.7. Do you think Stroman's going to bounce back that well to be ranked that well?
You know what? Really, with him being such a ground ball heavy pitcher, I've seen somewhat of a little bit of a pattern with him the last few years. 2015, balls seemed to find gloves, and he would get outs rather quickly. 2016, he struggled finding gloves, and balls just snuck through the infield and whatnot. 2017, it was much better, and it was much more in line with this 2015. And last year, with injuries on his side, too, he didn't help himself with being on the disabled list a few different times. But again, in those ground balls, they didn't find gloves any. But had trouble with the home run ball, too, last year. So, you know what? He kind of looked like he's had a little bit of a pattern of odd number of years. He's done pretty well in even numbered years. He has not done overly well. So maybe he will bounce back and follow that pattern. None of that is influenced by any sort of statistic to say that he can bounce back, but yeah, I don't.
You're following my Rick Porcello model, it sounds like to me, Brendan. He's always good every other year. Me and my brother never draft him in fantasy baseball every other year. Last year, not a good year, and then the year before that, and then Cy Young was mixed in there too. So it's like, okay, great. So, as far as the rest of it goes, we're probably on accurate with what they're saying about Clayton Richard. 0.5, that sounds more like a bullpen number. But then I'm kind of shocked that Ryan Borucki is just sub 1, in his first full season. I was kind of picking him maybe 1.2, 1.5-ish, somewhere in there for a full season.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's got the talent. And then I figured Sean Reed Foley, regardless of his ERA maybe being a little high, he'd probably be pushing the replacement level too.
Yeah, I think you're pretty spot on there. You know, Borucki can eat innings. He showed that last year when he got up here. He was able to pitch pretty consistently 6-7 innings every single time he took the ball, other than a few of the ones that he got rocked in at Yankee Stadium or whatnot. So the innings alone helps contribute to a player's WAR. So, you know what? If he does what he did last year, he'll definitely exceed that 0.8 projection. And Reed Foley, definitely see him being around there too, because he's still got some stuff to work on and he's got to harness that control.
Yeah. So last position on the Zips things we're going to hit really, really quickly here, bullpen. Obviously, I'm thinking the key contributors out of this are going to be Ken Giles and Ryan Tepera. I do like that they have David Paulino and Tim Meza on this. Obviously, Danny Barnes being the regular everyday carry and throw in at this point. And then Trent Thornton and Joe Biagini rounding out our quote-unquote bullpen to a 3.6 level WAR. There's going to be a lot of turnover in this bullpen, I think, this year. And you and I have talked excessively about Joe Biagini.
Yeah.
And if he's going to even be around as part of this bullpen picture. A lot of these young starters, and I think that the Paulino idea really shows that idea a lot. Somebody that's just got a live arm that could come into this bullpen and catch fire. Kind of a la Aaron Sanchez 2015.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? I really think the bullpen, as you said, is going to be changing a lot in 2019. There's a lot of guys who will probably start off the season. That's, for the most part, any bullpen. But you're going to see a constant rotation with the guys like Trent Thornton, the Jacob Walgus packs. Sam Gaviglio isn't even listed anywhere on those projections. Yeah, and you know what? He's another guy who could be what we were discussing Clayton Richards' role could be like. There's no Thomas Pannone anywhere there either. So it's going to be a rotating, it's going to be a whole bunch of different arms that round out the bullpen. Walgus Pack, maybe even Hector Perez, Pannone, maybe Julian Merriweather if he's healthy and back. Sam Gaviglio, if he makes a team and sticks around after spring training, there's going to be a lot of turnover in that bullpen. And you know what? I'm happy with that projection, and I think that would mean Ken Giles is obviously going to be taking a lot of that. And if Giles gets off to a hot start and pitches well, he can get a king's ransom at the trade deadline, considering his youth and control. So if Giles gets off to a really good start and puts up a lot of that projected 3.6, then I am 100% on board with trading Ken Giles at the deadline. But that's definitely a conversation for another time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Plus, you got to see what we could possibly do this year. I believe it was, I want to say Sports Illustrated I might have saw on the other day. They had it was on MLB.com. I take that back. Five teams that could surprise you in 2019, and the Blue Jays made that list just by the skin of their teeth at number five, but they had plenty of good points to things we pretty much aligned with on this show very consistently. A full season out of Randall Grichuk. He hit plenty of home runs last season. What does he do with a whole year? You get Lourdes Gurriel actually chiming in on this offense with Danny Jansen and Vladdy and everybody, and there could be just enough pitching sprinkled in on this to make it a decent Rays-ish run. So I can see that article living up being a top five surprise anyway.
I could too, and that is exciting because there isn't enough young talent offensively to be able to contribute. You know what the key is? And we saw this in 2015 and 2016, and a consistent thing between teams who are good and make playoff runs or at least stay in the conversation all the way until September is they have a healthy rotation and typically only go about eight starters deep, maybe seven if they're lucky. I mean, 2016 was a complete anomaly. There's no way. I would be very surprised if any time in the next 5 to 10 years we see the Blue Jays only use seven starters in a season. Felt like everybody made their turn each time out in 2016. And if that didn't happen, there's probably a pretty good chance that 2016 team would miss the playoffs. But if they are going to be making any surprises, they need to stay healthy. Everybody's got to make their turn in the rotation. And as of right now, I want to be as optimistic as possible, but based on the last few seasons of Aaron Sanchez, Matt Shoemaker, and all the youth that will be in the rotation, and who knows with Marcus Stroman in 2019, it seems like that's a lot to ask for. But you never know. Yeah. They could have luck on their side.
So the reason I go there is the reason I want to set this terribleness up. If you do have that surprise season out of the Blue Jays this season, do you still stick to your guns on trade Ken Giles?
No, he would have to be here. If they Well, let's say they
with
are
the
surprising.
Control he has. I just think it's one of those things that you just got to run with at that point. And okay, you suck again the next year, train then. But if you're in that conversation where, let's say we even post up the Rays record this year and just break the 80 win mark, I just don't see why you would want to trade a premier closer, unless you're getting the King's ransom.
If they do surprise and are in it, which again, it does seem like it is a lot to ask for with the way the roster is constructed. But hey, you never know.
It's better to
how
talk about
of
the offseason, man. Let's talk hypothetical.
Hey, I'm always down to talk hypothetics and get excited about this in January when it's really cold and windy outside. But if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes up here and is exactly what people think he is, he's going to make that offense so much better. And he's going to make everybody else around him so much better. So if they do surprise and are in it, the other good thing is Atkins and Chaparro over the last few years have built such a deep farm system that they can make a move to take away some of what they've built in the minor leagues to acquire a piece to keep them in the conversation. But I think for all intents and purposes, they're really loading up for a year of 2021, maybe 2020, if everything goes right, or 2022. But you never know. If they do surprise, then hey, I'm all here for it. I'm here for some meaningful September baseball. I think everybody is again after that magical 2015 and 2016.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that Sports Illustrated cover to come out with us on it. Just saying.
Vlad Jr. will be on that cover.
Yeah, there you go. So as far as all the fun goes, other than other Blue Jays news, is Bo Bichette is bombing bombs in the Bahamas and winning home run derbies almost. So if you haven't seen that video clip, everybody, we have been retweeting anything we can find on that on the Jaybird Watching Twitter account. So make sure you hit that up. And as far as all things go, man, that's pretty much a show. So what is going on in Brendan Panikkar's world, man?
You know what? With the slow news cycle, it has been somewhat difficult to think of content to write over the last little while. So I really don't know. But what I do want to do is give a shout-out to and he doesn't follow me, but I got a tweet on New Year's Day at 11:30 in the morning from @MartyR_Jays. Marty Reichel is his name. He said, special shout-out to my favorite Jays writer, @Panikkar37. I have the wife print out your articles every morning so I can read them during my Raisin Bran bowl for breakfast. All the best in the new year, and hope we get prime Clayton Richard come April. So I thought that was quite touching. I'm glad I can provide somebody good content that they enjoy with their bowl of Raisin Bran in the morning. So instead of plugging anything that I'm doing, I'm going to end it with a shout-out to @MartyR_Jays. Thank you, Mr. Reichel.
That is good stuff, my friend. And obviously you must be doing something to be earning such recognition and being on level with Raisin Bran, man. It's not quite the Wheaties, but you're damn close.
That Raisin Bran bowl does sound good. It kind of makes me want to have a bowl for breakfast tomorrow before going to work.
Sure as hell can't be worse than what I had for frickin' dinner tonight, Burger King. But yeah, as far as all other good things go, in a slow off season, me, Craig Borden, I actually I'm going to the Bisons Prospect Showcase, which is kind of something that the Buffalo Bisons have done over the last few years. It's a nice little deal. You know, Ben Cherington and some of the Blue Jays brass comes down and talks minor leagues, what's going on. It's kind of like a state of the minor league system address kind of thing. And they always do it right up against the Winterfest thing. And the prospects continue to go from Buffalo right up to Toronto to hang out with the rest of you. And, you know, you don't have to deal with me New Yorkers anymore, even though I'm a Blue Jays fan. I'm not too bad. But it's a pretty impressive list of prospects they're going to be bringing this year. Not only do they bring Vlad Jr. back this year, it's the second time he'll be doing this prospect showcase. Nate Pearson, Kevin Smith, Kevin Biggio, Hector Perez, TJ Zoik, Trent Thornton, Santiago Espinal, Forrest Wall, Jacob Waspak, Julianne Merriweather, Patrick Murphy, Yesenia Diaz, and Zach Jackson. So it's a pretty eclectic group that's going to be hanging out and drink, you know, just goofing around while me and my dad drink beers and talk baseball with anybody we can. I had the pleasure of meeting Danny Jansen and Ryan Brucki, who were sharing an autograph table. Near the end of the night, it slows down a lot, and I just, you know, meander and talk to everybody. It's fun. You get a chance to get some of the personality of some of the guys, and those two being complete characters and BFFs, you know. It's just good stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting some more of those kind of interactions, and now that I have the freedom to maybe even record some of this, I'm actually hoping to get a reoccurrence with Patrick Murphy, who I interviewed prior to the 2018 season after a stellar performance in Dunedin this year and even earning himself a spot on the 40-man roster. So hopefully we can figure something out with him to possibly bring it to this program for all of you wonderful Blue Jays fans. So
I wish I was able to attend that because it does sound like a lot of fun.
We'll get you in on sometime, man. It's weird that it's on a Thursday night is the catch. And I think
If it was on a Friday, I could probably swing that and maybe work from a Starbucks or something in Buffalo. But being on a Thursday is probably a little more difficult.
Yeah. It's like you, it's about an hour and a half-ish drive or so for me to get there from Rochester. But as far as it goes, I only get so many times to see guys like that. And with the Winterfest being a thing for like 3-4 hours for me to drive, this is the closest I'm going to get.
Yeah. You know what? You should come up to the Winterfest. I think there's still tickets, and they're doing it both days this year. Last year they did Saturday. This year they're doing Saturday and Sunday. It was a good event last year. I went with a few of my friends, and we had a good time. It's a nice little event, and I think it was long overdue. I'm very surprised that the previous management didn't think of to do something with that. It at least gets people in the Rogers Center during the off season, which is always exciting to be in the dome.
Yeah, it always amazed me that that doesn't get used more often for just events in general. I got to see the Foo Fighters when I came up to visit you last time, but doesn't seem like that's a reoccurring thing, is it?
No, you know what? I would say there's only about 3 to 5 big concerts at the Rogers Center per year. They're all in the summer. They obviously have Jays baseball. They don't have the Toronto Argonauts anymore. They left after the 2015 season and now play at BMO Field, and that would take you, if you had a playoff game, until November of semi-consistent use. And then maybe other than, I'm not sure if they did it this year, but other than a monster truck rally on a weekend or two in the off-season, the dome's empty for the most part, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, and you guys aren't getting Buffalo Bills once a year anymore either.
No, all football is gone from the Rogers Center.
I made that trip for that a couple of times. That was fun. It was a different perspective playing, you know, being a Buffalo Bills fan, playing a home game in Toronto. You guys didn't get the anthem going, hey, or anything with all
those
knuckleheads. So
that showed why the NFL, I mean, I guess if it was their own team, that would show why the NFL wouldn't work here, because everybody already has their team. A lot of people love the Bills because they're very close to Buffalo in Toronto, but for the most part, everybody already has their own team and forged ties with places like myself with the crappy 49ers. But next year will be different.
That was one of the things that I noticed in that game. It was an eclectic of the most classic and awesome jerseys at a football game I've ever been to, because it was just any team, any player. It was like, oh my God, there's another guy I remember, and then, you know, so on and so forth. It was good stuff. But anyway, Brendan, once again, it's always a pleasure having you on the show here, man, and I'm glad we get to keep doing the Wednesday Wallop, even if we're recording on a Wednesday due to our fun with schedules this week.
Yeah, we got to keep our audience guessing on when it'll be recorded and then published. Wednesdays or Thursdays?
Yeah. Well, that New Year's Resolutions one played well, so we're glad you all listened to that. That was a fun episode for all of us to be goofing around and having some fun with. We got a couple other clever ideas up our sleeves for slow off-season stuff before we start diving into the top 30 prospects here before spring training. So, but anyway, buddy, it's good. It's awesome. Blue Jays baseball. Hopefully we get some wins.
It's coming. It's rather soon. It's almost just over a month until pitchers and catchers report. So that'll be here before we know it.
It sounds good, man. I can't wait. And we'll have more Wednesday Wallops for you. Don't forget to dial in and listen to Brendan and I every other week. We might get a little bit more splurging on, you know, a few more episodes here and there once the season kicks in. But we will be bringing you some sort of Blue Jay content as much as we possibly can throughout the off season here. And maybe some other weird shows. We've been talking about doing a top 5, top 3 favorite baseball movie debate just to hash out some terrible movie quotes and whatnot. We'll see what we can get into. But until then, keep clicking those subscribe buttons, leaving us reviews. Keep telling all those wonderful Blue Jays fans about us here. And if you're looking to join us on a show, we're always looking for wonderful fans to have on with us as well. So, everybody, Brendan, thanks again. Appreciate it.
You bet, buddy. Have a great night.
You too. And Blue Jays fans, talk to you soon. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.